This is Carolina Catholic Media Showcase.
Hello, I'm Kara Griffin with the Charlotte Diocese Catholic Charities Human Trafficking Awareness Committee. Our guest today is Sister Anne Victory, who will share with our audience about St. Josephine Bikita, patron saint of victims of trafficking. She will also share what human trafficking is and the church's response and resources available to address this fast-growing crime. Sister Anne Victory is currently serving as a member of the leadership team of the Sisters of the Humility of Mary. She served as Director of Education for the Collaborative to End Human Trafficking in Cleveland from 2010 to 2021 and is now a volunteer for the organization. A nurse by profession, she served for 32 years as a clinician, educator, and an administrator in nursing, and as Vice President for Mission and Director of Staff Education at St. Joseph Hospital in Lorain, Ohio, now named Mercy Health and part of the Bon Secours Mercy Healthcare System. Sister Anne is one of the founding members of the U.S. Catholic Sisters Against Human Trafficking and past president of the board. She has given presentations to a wide variety of audiences on the topic of human trafficking, including a very popular TED Talk. One of the lenses through which Anne views human trafficking is as a public health issue, one that requires a collaborative, trauma-based approach involving multiple systems and service providers. She holds a bachelor's in nursing from St. John College in Cleveland and a master's in nursing from Ohio State University. She joins me today from her home in Cleveland. Welcome, Sister Anne.
Well, thank you, Kara. I'm delighted to be with you today for the conversation.
Thank you. And Sister Anne, as I learn more about this horrific crime against humanity, I wonder often, where is the outcry? How can this crime persist? And despite the growing awareness and education available, human trafficking continues to be one of the fastest growing criminal industries in the world. Sister Anne, would you start by sharing a little bit about St. Josephine Bikita, who is the patron saint of victims of trafficking and whose feast day is February 8th? And then perhaps tell our audience, what is human trafficking?
Certainly, I'd be delighted to. St. Josephine Bikita was kidnapped in an area of South Sudan back in the 1800s, and she was sold into slavery at age 7 and given the name Bikita, which means fortunate. And she wasn't really fortunate at all when you think of what she endured. She was taken to Italy and given to another friend and was enslaved in work that she was not choosing to do. But at some point, she was exposed to the Kenosian sisters. And because of that connection, she received instructions and became a Catholic, was baptized and confirmed in 1890. And she took the name at that time of Josephine. So we have those two names put together, Josephine Bikita. They wanted the people that had taken her, returned from Africa, and they wanted to take her back with them. But she refused to go. By this time, she was an adult, so she could do that. And there was a court case, and the Kenosian sisters and the Patriarch of Venice intervened on her behalf. And because slavery at that time was illegal in Italy, she actually was made free, and it was declared that she was free. She then entered the community of St. Magdalene of Kenosha and professed her vows in 1896. And then she did serve in the area of Italy and assisted through simple works, cooking, sewing, embroidering, welcoming people at the door. She became well-loved because of her attention to children and the local citizens and her great kindness that she showed them. So we're lucky to have her as a witness, and she was recently canonized as a saint in our church. So having her as one who has endured slavery as a spokesperson for human trafficking, it's an honor to have such a saint to represent this important cause. You asked me what human trafficking is, and it's really recruitment, harboring, transportation, provision, or obtaining of a person for commercial sex or for some sort of labor or services. And the methods used by traffickers are force, fraud, or coercion. Now, if you're a child, no need to prove force, fraud, or coercion. Children cannot consent to these things, so they're automatically a victim of a crime. And in her case, she was a child, could not have spoken up for herself or would have been disregarded if she tried to. So she understood it very personally, what it means to be enslaved.
Yes. And what kind of trafficking do we typically see? What are the forms of trafficking?
Well, the major ones are two categories. One would be commercial sex, and the other would be forced labor. So those two major categories, and they take some different forms under each category. And there can be some things like organ trafficking that are related, things like that can enter in, but this is forced in either case.
And I've read, too, that child exploitation is the fastest growing criminal industry in our country. Could you talk about why child exploitation is so prevalent and why is it so difficult to stop?
Well, it's really such an awful thing. Can tend to be vulnerable. Traffickers go after whoever might be vulnerable in some way, regardless whether you're a child or an adult. But with kids, they're pretty naive anyway a lot of the time. They think everybody's their friend, so they can easily be tricked. They may be having a hard time in school or at home. Things are in disarray, and so they're lonely. They reach out to someone who appears as their friend. It may happen in person, but right now it's happening a lot online. So that interaction between social media and human trafficking has become a major, major concern because kids, they're not afraid of anything online. Try everything, all the games, all the apps, not knowing that the person on the other end may be someone who is going to exploit them.
And once a child is exploited or a person is trafficked, why don't they leave their trafficking situation, whether it's a child or an adult? Well, can't they just leave?
Well, most of the time they can't because they are frightened to death. They are so afraid. They have been threatened. Their family has been threatened. And they're afraid of that trafficker because of the violence that they've witnessed or have been threatened by, and they certainly don't want their family to suffer because of this. And this remains very hidden. They're afraid to speak up because the trafficker has warned them. If you say anything, something very bad will happen.
And often, victims are portrayed with chains. And so, like you say, it's not like they're being physically forced, but it goes back to your description of fraud, coercion, or force. So it doesn't always have to be a physical form of force, but it could be more psychological or threats or even taking away documents and passports if it's in the situation of labor or smuggling across borders. Is that correct? And could you talk a little bit about that?
That's very true. And sometimes the images do us no favors because if we're portraying someone locked up or in chains, well, they aren't. They may be going to school every day. And we wouldn't notice those kinds of things. The psychological chains are much, much stronger than any physical chains would be. And the persons involved in this business know that. They want the person to be scared. They want them to be living under such threats because they're keeping the person under control. And they may also use other means. They may drug them. And then they have to stay because of the drugs. They can't leave because they are dependent then on the drugs. If they leave, where do they get that commodity? And they'll get very sick without it. So it's pretty vicious when you think about it. And that can happen to children or adults.
And that's what makes me so sad to find out that the child sexual exploitation industry is so prevalent and one of the fastest growing industries in the United States. Why is it so prevalent?
It's really all about the money. This is an extremely profitable enterprise, unfortunately. And the traffickers know that they can make a lot of money. If you're selling drugs, for instance, when you sell your drugs, you have to get more. If you're selling a person, you could sell that same person 10 or 15 times a day. And so it's extremely lucrative. It's very hidden. And then there's also that sense of power that some people are craving. So it's very complex. And it's all about money when you think of it. The International Labor Organization has said that this is about a $150 billion a year global enterprise. And they say these are estimates, and we think they're low estimates. Now, I don't know about you, but my head can't think in billions. It's way beyond me. So I know it's a huge amount of money. And it's who gets that money? Nobody but the traffickers. Nobody benefits except the traffickers. So with their money also comes power, and it's just a vicious circle.
It's so tragic, really. And I've read recently, I think it's the Global Slavery Index that has just come out with an updated report that there are an estimate, which I know numbers aren't always exact, of 50 million slaves and or victims of slavery in the world today. My question is, why does it keep expanding? Why is it so difficult to stop?
Well, it's difficult to stop for many reasons. One is that it's so complex. And secondly, it's so hidden. And it's also interconnected with a number of other factors, like migration is a factor. People who are desperate because there's a war in their country or there's a famine in their land, and they have to move in order to save themselves and their children. So they leave and they become extremely vulnerable to be picked up by a trafficker who may appear as someone friendly and kind and wanting to help. And they agree the fraud piece, and then they're locked into something else that's so much worse. So that's one of the things. There's the whole patriarchal system where that power factor enters in, and women are treated as nothing in some cultures. So they're seen as property anyway. So that can be a factor. Climate change can be a factor. The famine and the changes in weather cause terrible results of flooding or drought in areas, and they can't live. So they have to leave in order to preserve life. And that's another one of the reasons or underlying factors. But it's very, very complicated. And seeing the connections, I think, sometimes helps us realize that however we can address a piece of it, we're also helping to address other pieces as well.
Thank you, Sister. Let's take a quick break. And when we return, we will discuss more and touch on the church's involvement, resources available to address this fast-growing crime, and how we, as people of faith, can help fight and end this war on human trafficking. Thank you.
The following is a public service announcement regarding human trafficking shared by Teresa Flores, Program Director of the U.S. Catholic Sisters Against Human Trafficking, and a survivor herself, also the narrator telling her story about a young Catholic high school student who was sexually exploited and trafficked. She now tells her stories with others. Sponsored by the New Jersey Coalition Against Human Trafficking.
I was 15, a sophomore, when I met a cute boy at school. One day, he offered me a ride home from school, and I was so happy. But he didn't take me home. He took me to his house where he drugged and raped me and took photos. He threatened to show the photos to kids at school, to our priest at church, and to my father's boss at work.
I was an ordinary kid who went to Catholic school and ballet class, but I had a secret. I was trafficked in South Jersey by my mom, who was a nurse. I was only 6 years old. She looked at me and she said, "Do you love me?" Of course I did.
I was raised in New Jersey in an abusive and controlled environment. In school, I struggled with learning disabilities and used laughter to hide behind my pain. I longed for acceptance and friendship, which caused me to trust the wrong people. At age 18, people who pretended to be my friends ended up forcing me into prostitution, and I endured beatings and worse. I thought I'd never survive.
For 2 years, I was forced to sneak out at night and was sold to men to try and earn back the photos. I was trafficked in a middle-class suburb while I lived at home and went to school during the day.
What child doesn't want to prove that they love their parent? So sleeping with men became my normal. Later in life, a boyfriend figure said, "I'm not making you do anything your mom didn't make you do." I felt like I had no choice because I believed them when they said that no one would believe someone like me.
I was left with police records, hospital visits, and homelessness. Today, I've learned that my voice and my presence in this world can make a difference. Today, I feel empowered, valued, and loved.
If any of our stories resonate with you and what you have gone through or are currently going through, know that you are not alone. The survivor community is waiting for you.
If you are a victim, call the national hotline now at 1-888-373-7888.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Kara Griffin with the Charlotte Diocese Catholic Charities Human Trafficking Awareness Committee. And so excited about our guest today is Sister Ann Victory with U.S. Catholic Sisters Against Human Trafficking. And we are discussing the prevalence of human trafficking. We're also honoring St. Josephine Bikita, who is the patron saint of victims of trafficking. And I also want to mention that for all the information we're sharing today, if you would like more resources and information on human trafficking, you can go to the Charlotte Diocese Catholic Charities Human Trafficking Committee website. Go to www.ccdoc.org/human trafficking. Again, that is www.ccdoc.org/human trafficking. And please stay tuned for more discussions each month. Now let's get back to Sister Ann. Thank you, Sister Ann, for being here. Let's discuss the church's involvement and the resources available to address this fast-growing crime against humanity. And Sister, could we start with your role in the church regarding your human trafficking work?
Well, actually, my role in the church is that I'm a member of the church. And as a Catholic sister, we have always had a role in addressing the needs of the time. Most religious communities have been addressing the needs of the time. And in former years, those needs were a bit different than they are today. And they're usually needs that are on the margins of society. So right now, human trafficking is one of those. So quite a number of religious communities have picked up on this need to address this. And the only way to do such a complex cause or issue is to do it together. Nobody can do this alone. And it's not just sisters. It is all of us, Catholic or not, who need to be addressing this issue because it affects human rights. And life is sacred. Human life is sacred. And we honor that in our church. And we honor that as human beings. So that's why we do it. And that's what I consider to be my role and to be a voice for those who cannot speak for themselves at this point.
I totally agree with you. And I am so happy to hear you say this as a member of a church. This is my choice, my prerogative. And I feel like we need to share that with all Christians, all people of faith. really, like you said, everyone. This is not just a immigrant problem. This is just not a third world problem. This is not even just a Catholic problem. The only way we're going to tackle this is crossing all borders and reaching our hands out to all faiths and all people to tackle this. Could you share with me, though, what programs and campaigns does the Catholic Church offer? Because I know there's so many, and I'd love for you to highlight some of those for our listeners so that we can all learn more about what we can access and take part in.
Well, there are lots of resources available, and sometimes it depends on where you are in a country or where you are in the United States, what gets highlighted. Of course, the Vatican, this is an issue that Pope Francis has lifted up because of his great concern for human dignity of all persons. And so the Vatican website has information on human trafficking. In our own country, many dioceses have addressed the issue or are addressing the issues. Catholic Health Association addresses human trafficking and wants to help their employees in Catholic Health be able to identify and respond to the needs of those who are being trafficked, because those being trafficked are not likely to just speak up and say what's happening. It has to be discerned. It has to be discovered in a way that doesn't cause more trauma. So those are some of the ways. U.S. Catholic Sisters Against Human Trafficking has a wealth of resources on our website, and that is listed in the resources that Kara is providing as well. So we're glad to be doing this work. It just feels like it's an important issue to be addressed in our time. It does overlap with immigration, of course, and so some of those websites as well. So Clinic as a website, the Justice arm of the Catholic Church, the Catholic Social Teachings address the dignity of the person and the dignity of work and solidarity with one another in all the efforts that need to be made for the sake of human persons in our world and in our church. So I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, it does. And it highlights too, you know, this is a respect life issue. There are so many that are so vulnerable that we don't see them, although they're often kind of hiding in plain sight. But these are the most often the most poor, often the most lacking justice or social justice and human rights. And often, though, that's not the case. It could be any color, any race, any income level. So we really do need to open our eyes to this very complicated problem and see it also as a health care problem, because so many victims might come across health providers or first responders or law enforcement or teachers and not properly be identified. So I'm so happy that the sisters, and there are so many campaigns and organizations within the church, but we really do need to share this with our everyday people and our important workers and essential workers out there. I've also wanted to mention that the Vatican has a website that we can go to, and it's www.endslavery.va. That's www.endslavery.va. The U.S. Catholic Sisters has a wonderful Facebook group that also highlights updates on legislative events and things and petitions and campaigns that we can all take part in as everyday citizens. So why does this challenging and horrific problem need attention from people of faith?
Well, those of us who profess our faith know that we are all one body. We are the image of Christ. So if that's the case, we need to be looking out for, caring for one another, and noticing when there is something amiss, when something is wrong, especially among those who cannot speak up because of the fear or the circumstances that they're in. It's up to us to pay attention and to see what might not be right, and to be ones who will help, ones who will reach out and care for our sisters and brothers. That's what we're called to do, because that's the call of the gospel. And so that's why we would do it. And doing it together is the only way, because it's so complex, we can't do it alone.
And, you know, I believe a lot of victims feel like they're at fault. They feel they are, and oftentimes they are charged with a crime and they are put in the criminal system. And so the church sometimes is the only place we need and feel like we might go to if as a victim, because law enforcement might see these persons as victims, although sometimes they often see them as a criminal. So what do victims, where can they go? And I do see that they may turn to the church, and it would be so effective to know what we're looking at. And it could be through a thrift shop that maybe a church runs. It could be a food pantry that we come across, you know, a victim. It could be through our school system and even in our own church. I know that the Sisters of Against Human Trafficking has partnered with the New Jersey Coalition Against Human Trafficking and has produced a wonderful ad that talks about a high school girl being exploited from another student. And it's so powerful. And we are going to air that later on today and listen for that on the radio. But it talks about children who were trafficked either by a family member or someone at school. So this can take place right here in our Catholic community. If a listener on our program today wants to take part in the fight against human trafficking, how may they do that?
Well, there are some pretty basic ways. One would be to learn more, to get to know the issue better. Even though it's a tough one, getting to know it better and using reliable resources to help that. And then pay attention when you're out and about. What are you seeing? How are people acting? Does something seem not right? And if it seems not right to you, trust it. Many, many law enforcement folks are now very aware of this issue and want to do the right thing. So let them know I'm concerned that this is going on, or let the powers that be in a school know this child, there's something wrong here. Something's not right. The behavior has changed. They're just not who they were. They won't respond. They don't show up at school. What's going on? Asking those kinds of in-depth questions can make a huge difference in someone's life. People who show up or don't show up at church, and they used to. What's going on? What is the person all right? That's caring for one another, and that's really, really important. Those are simple ways. Wondering how I can get this product so cheaply. It seems like such a bargain. Well, who's making it so that I can get that t-shirt for $3? Somebody's paying, and probably with their life, to make such cheap goods available. So looking for products that are fair trade, fairly traded, is really, really important and pretty hard to do in some cases, because it's hard to find fair trade products. But we can push our companies that we rely on, the products that we like, and investigate, find out who's making these. Is there human trafficking in this supply chain? And if there is, you know, I can purchase something somewhere else, or I can divest of my stocks in this and go through socially responsible investing channels to get products or to work with companies that don't allow slavery in their supply chains. So there are myriads of things that we can do. We can certainly all pray for those who are victims of human trafficking. It's a very, very powerful tool that we can all use. And that's a way of being involved at whatever your state of life may be at this time. So those are some of the ways. There are lots more. It depends on your circumstances and where you are. Find out what's going on in your own neighborhoods or your own city and partner up. You don't have to start something new. You can partner with those who are already doing work and contribute to that work. We don't have to be the leaders all the time. We can be the joiners and support an organization that's doing good work.
So as we wrap up our discussion today, I would like to share an important number for victims of human trafficking. That is the National Human Trafficking Resource Hotline, 1-888-373-7888, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you need help, or you know someone else who may be a victim of trafficking, or to report a tip, call the National Human Trafficking Resource Center. Again, that's 1-888-373-7888.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Carolina Catholic Media Showcase. For more information about us and to support our nonprofit mission of broadcasting the message of Jesus Christ, visit CarolinaCatholicRadio.org and follow, friend, and like us on social media by searching for Carolina Catholic Radio.